الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد our discussion continues with regards to the hadith of Abi Mas'ud al-Ansari the hadith of Rafi' ibn Khadij رضي الله عنهما the first narration أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ثمن الكلب ومهل البغي وحلوان الكاهن that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade the price of the dog and likewise the dowry of the prostitute, the money that she's given for prostitution, وحلوان الكاهن and حلوان of the fortune teller, meaning the earnings that he makes from fortune telling and the likes. In the second narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned ثَمَنُ الْكَلْبِ خَبِيثِ that the price of the dog is filthy, khabith. وَمَهْرُ الْبَغِي خَبِيثِ and likewise the dowry of the prostitute is khabith, is filthy. وَكَسْبُ الْحَجَّامِ خَبِيثِ and the earnings of the one who gives cupping is also khabith, is filthy. So now it is understood from here that there are earnings that are considered khabith. There are means, makasib. Makasib means of earning a living that are considered khabitha, makasib khabitha. Waliyadha billah, some of them are muharrama, and others they are not muharrama, but rather they're radi'ah aw dani'ah, meaning they're lowly types of earnings. They're lowly types of earnings. So there are some earnings that are filthy and they're forbidden, like the earnings coming from selling dogs, likewise from prostitution, also from fortune-telling and the likes of these affairs. And there are earnings that are also considered khabith, filthy, but they're not forbidden, they're just lowly and discouraged, like the earnings of the one who does cupping, So this is the case with al-makasib al-khabitha, the filthy earnings. There are others likewise, these are examples. These are examples of these filthy earnings, earnings that are filthy, meaning they're forbidden and they're not allowed, displeasing to Allah. And others, they're filthy, meaning they're lowly, meaning they're not forbidden. They're permissible, but they're lowly and discouraged, and they're looked down upon. And on the other hand, there are makasib tayyibah. There are good and nice and noble means of earning a living. So from here and this point now, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, in his commentary on Umdat al-Ahkam, he has a brief, short commentary. It's in one thick volume, and it has summarized benefits. And many times you will find benefits here you do not find in the other longer works even. And he benefits from Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. And from this is the issue that he discussed in these narrations, A'la al-makasib. And I have prepared a PDF of this topic and made it available on the channel, in the Masjid Tawheed channel, to follow along. A'la al-makasib, the highest forms of earnings. I need the most noble and virtuous means of earning a living. Qala Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah. وعلى المكاسب مكسب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى he says the highest form of earning is the earning of the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the highest the most noble means of earning a living is that of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم كما قال as he said صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعل رزقي تحت ظل رمحي وَجُعِلَ رِزْقِي تَحْتَ ظِلِّ رُمْحِ and my provision was placed under the shade of my spear. The Shaykh, he says, أي الغنيمة بالجهاد في سبيل الله meaning the spoils of war that are obtained through a jihad in the path of Allah. And he fighting the enemies of Allah and conquering the lands and taking the spoils of war. This was the earnings for the believers, those fighting in the path of Allah. And it's known that the Prophet ﷺ, he has a specific portion a specific portion and share from the spoils of war, and likewise those who fight along with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the earnings that came in this manner, the earnings that came in this manner, لِأَنَّهُ يَحْسُرُ بِهِ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The Shaykh, he says, because it combines the benefits of this world and the hereafter. And he bringing about the benefits of both lives, the benefits of establishing the worldly life and likewise of establishing the hereafter. This is from the main aspect of making it most virtuous and the highest and lofty means of earning a living. The Shaykh here is referring to a narration which is collected by Al-Imam Ahmad, and likewise Al-Tabarani, and also Abu Ya'la Al-Musri, Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and by Al-Tabarani, and his work is called Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, and by Abu Ya'la Al-Musri, and his Musnad likewise, It's been declared authentic by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his work called Sahih Al-Jami', number 2831. So in this narration, it's the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, the one that's been referred to here. It's the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُعِثْتُ بَيْنِ يَدَيْ السَّاعَةِ بِالسَّيْفِ حَتَّى يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was sent just before the hour. With the sword, in order for Allah to be worshipped alone with no partners. وَجُعِلَ رِزْقِي تَحْتَ ظِلِّ رُمْحِي. And my provision was placed under the shade of my spear. And this is the reference for the Shaykh here, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And my provision was placed under the shade of my spear. وَجُعِلَ الذِّلَّةُ وَالصَّغَارُ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرِي. And humiliation and degradation has been placed upon those who oppose my command. وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. And whoever imitates a people, then he's from them. So this is the narration in entirety. This narration is an amazing narration. In reality, it's rightful to study this narration on its own, but just so that we know what the author is referring to here. And in the provision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he obtained from wealth was through the spoils of war and fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the highest level and means of earning a living. Now he says, rahimahullah, thumma ba'dahu ikhtalafu. And then after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a difference of opinion. Any of the people, they differed. The people of knowledge, they differed. فَقِيلَ الزِّرَاعَةَ وَقِيلَ التِّجَارَةَ وَقِيلَ الصِّنَاعَةَ مِنْ تِجَارَةٍ وَحِدَادَةَ وَنَحْوِهَا. So after that, there's a difference of opinion. Any which one is most virtuous? Some of the people of knowledge, they said agriculture is best. Any working in agriculture and farm and livestock and the likes like this. And others, they said trade. Trade is the best. Any business and commerce. And some said craftsmanship is the best, such as blacksmithing and similar professions. So the people of knowledge, they looked into the most noble and virtuous, and praiseworthy aspects of earning a living after the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they differed. So some of them mentioned agriculture, others they mentioned trade, commerce, and doing business, buying and selling and the likes. And others they mentioned craftsmanship, like blacksmithing and manufacturing. The Shaykh, he mentions now his position. He says, وَالصَّحِيْهِ أَنَّ الْأَفْضَلَ بَعْدَ مَكْسَبِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا كَانَ أَصْلَحَ لِدِينِ الْعَبْدِ وَدُنْيَاهُ. This is the great benefit here. وَالصَّحِيْهِ, yani what is correct, or the proper view of the virtuous, of the most virtuous and lofty means of earning a living, after that of the Messenger صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا كَانَ أَصْلَحَ لِدِينِ الْعَبْدِ وَدُنْيَاهُ. The best earning after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam earning is what is most suitable for the religion and worldly life of the servant. The earnings that's most suitable for the religion of the individual and his worldly life. And in order for him to establish his deen and establish his dunya, the means for him to earn a living, the best is the one that's for him, he's able to establish this affair. So which one is most virtuous? The one that will be a means for an individual to be able to establish his deen and dunya at the same time through this profession. Through this profession. This is very important to ponder over, especially for the youth. Many of them, they have ambitions to be this or to be that. And they want to go to school to learn this trade and to learn that trade. And many times their ambitions in reality are misguided, or they're not upon a proper path, or it requires them in order to achieve this particular trade or this particular occupation, so on and so forth, to violate many rights of the religion, or that that particular trade or occupation is going to expose their deen to tribulations and trials, to great fitna and the likes like this. And so to think about the occupation a person he wants to pursue is very important. And no doubt pursuing an occupation and earning a living is an obligation for a man. It's an obligation for a man. It's part of life, alhamdulillah. And Dawood, he used to work, alayhi salatu wasalam, and make an earning with his hands. And he was praised for that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was praised for that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And likewise, all of the prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to work. They used to work. Each one of them was a shepherd, working with the flocks in the fields and the likes like this. This is something that was known. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a shepherd for the people of Mecca. And he would work for qaratit, and he for some money and for some pay and the likes like this. And the likes like this. So earning a living is something that's praiseworthy. Whenever a person observes the Islamic legislation with regards to that. And then after that, now here, what we're discussing, not only observing the Islamic legislation and the limits and regulations in the deen, but looking to the occupation that will be most suitable and beneficial for a person to be able to establish his deen and his dunya. His deen and his dunya. He wants to be able to establish his religion first and foremost, and from establishing the religion is establishing the worldly life. Having income, having finances, having money, and to be able to spend on oneself and to spend on one's family and to take care of oneself and to take care of one's family by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, that a man, he will work. That a man, he will work. But it has to be with knowledge and wisdom and with sincere faith and belief in Allah in the last day. A person, he will just not go out seeking a living and to earn money any from any avenue that he can. This is from the ways of the hypocrites and the wicked and the evil. Then it will be said about him, he will live his life in this manner, al-halal ma halla fi jaybihi, wal-haram ma lam tasil ilayhi yaduhu. This is what it said for the likes of these people. Al-halal ma halla fi jaybihi. What he considers halal is whatever he can get in his pocket. What is haram? Ma lam tasil ilayhi yaduhu. And what is haram is whatever he cannot get his hands on. And he doesn't abide by any legislation. He doesn't look to any law. He doesn't care about obligations or prohibitions and the likes like this. He gets money however he can. The money that's lawful for him is whatever he gets his hand on, regardless of the manner or the means. And the money that's haram or forbidden is the money that he cannot get his hand on. And he doesn't have a way to get it or to obtain it. So he doesn't live abiding by the legislation and the limits and regulations. Rather, many of them, they do not even believe in the legislation and the limits and the regulations. But even some of the believers, those who are Muslims, they believe in the limits and the laws and the regulations of Islam, yet they live in the same manner, as if whatever I can get my hand on, then it's permissible, and whatever I can't get my hand on, then it's impermissible. Meaning they do not fear Allah Azza wa Jal. They do not show concern and care for these sacred rights and limits. And they live as if they're never going to die, or that whenever they die, they will not be taken to account, or as if Allah loves them and they're guaranteed Jannah, and the likes like this. And this is all misguidance. And this is all misguidance. So he says now, rahimahullah, فَيُنْظَرْ لِلْعَمَلِ وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ فَيُنْظَرْ لِلْعَمَلِ وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ فَالَّذِي لَا يُلْهِي عَنِ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَيَحْسُرُ بِهِ الرِّزْقُ الْحَلَالِ أَفْضَلْ مَا يَكُونَ أَفْضَلْ مَا يَكُونَ. So one should consider the nature of the work and its consequences. One should consider the nature of the work and its consequences. If it does not distract from worship and provides lawful sustenance and income, then this is the best type of earning there can be. Then this is the best type of earning there can be. The occupation itself does not distract a person from fulfilling his obligatory rights of worship and obedience daily, on a daily basis. It does not prohibit him from that. It does not forbid him from that. It does not distract him from that. It does not preoccupy him from that. And along with that, the earnings are halal and permissible, wholesome and good. This is the best. This is the best type of earnings and the best wealth a person can get his hand on. The best wealth a person can get his hand on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book about the righteous believers, the true men. There are men, fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wuthkara fiha ismuhu yusabbihu fihi bilghuduwi wal asal. Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un an dhikrillahi wa iqamis salah. That there are houses that Allah has allowed to be raised and to be established, and Allah has mentioned in it in the mornings and in the evenings, and He's referring to the houses of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the establishment of the obligatory prayers therein, and those who are praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the mornings and the evenings and all throughout the day in the establishment of the obligatory prayer. And other than that, Rijalun, they're men. Shaykh Abdul Razak Hafidhullah, he mentioned that this is a verse here clarifying the reality of manhood. Al-Rujula, Al-Marajul, manhood is in establishing the obligatory prayer in the masjid with the men. This is from the greatest aspects of manhood. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. There are men that لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. That there are men that no business and no trade, no commerce preoccupies them or distracts them from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla in establishing the prayer and the rights of Al-Islam. So these people, they have business, they get money, they work, so on and so forth, but they work in a manner that does not distract them or preoccupy them with the rights of Al-Islam. When it's time to pray, they pray. When it's time to pray, they pray. Whenever the call is made, they respond. Whenever the rights of Islam must be established, they establish them. And they do not let their occupation or their job or their ambition to have a career preoccupy them, deter them, or turn them away from fulfilling the rights that they are created for. So again, he says, فَلْيُنْظَرْ لِلْعَمَلِ وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ. One should consider the nature of the work and its consequences, meaning the things that come about if you get involved in that particular occupation, the outcome of that affair. This is from the ways of the wise and the successful. They don't just look right in front of them. They don't look at the footstep in front of their foot. They look down the road, several steps away. What would happen if I place my foot here? If you see what would happen if you place your foot here, maybe you'll be saved. But if you look down the road, maybe that footstep will lead you to your failure, to destruction, to misguidance or deviation, and the likes like this, or to trials and tribulations. That one footstep led you there. Had a person thought about that before taking that step, but that step and the steps that come after that, what will happen to me? What is the final outcome and goal of this affair? To look into this issue in this manner like this is from the ways of wisdom. It's from the ways of wisdom. Not to be hasty and just jump in head first at everything that seems to be an opportunity. Rather to be forbearing and to be wise and to not be hasty and to look into the outcome of these affairs and weigh up the benefits and advantages against the problems and the ills, against the problems and the ills. And if the advantages are greater and the problems are few, then a person, he would advance, alhamdulillah. But if there are great advantages, but in the end it's going to lead to more problems or trials and the likes like this, then a person, he will avoid that. Maybe there are advantages, for example, they will have a high salary, but they will have to compromise their religion. Some of them who are weak in their faith, the first thing they'll sell is their deen. A woman, for example, was told to her, we'll give you a $40 raise. But you have to take off the hijab. You can't wear the hijab in that position right there. Then in the position you're in right now, you can keep the hijab on. But if you want this new position, you want this raise and upgraded payment, then you have to take the hijab off. And one who's weak in her faith, she will do that for a dollar. You just have to reach the amount that she's desiring. So this is from the meaning of the narration of the Prophet ﷺ of the great trials that will occur in the end days. يُسْبِحُ رَجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُسْبِحُ كَافِرًا يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِغَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. That person, he will come in the morning as a believer, and by the evening he will be a disbeliever, or in the evening he will be a believer, but by morning he will be a disbeliever. He will sell his religion for a miserly worldly price. He will sell his religion for a miserable worldly price. So some of these affairs, they're disbelief, and some of them are lesser than that, but in any case, they're leading to disbelief. So a person has to look into the outcome of the affairs. This is the point. A person has to look into the outcome of the affairs. So if it's something that is lawful in itself in the first place, it's a lawful earnings in the first place, and it's not going to preoccupy or deter a person from establishing his deen, then he will hasten upon that. But if it's lawful and permissible in general, but then in the end it's going to be something exposing a person's religion to great trials and the likes like this, like mixing with women freely. He will have to have a job daily. He's going to have to mix with women, for example. He's going to have to see them and talk to them and the likes like this. And it's known that kithratul misas tudhibul ihsas, that there's an issue of desensitization. If a person's in an environment where men and women are working together all the time, and this one is hanging out with that one, and she's calling, hey babe, how you doing, like they do here in America, so on and so forth. They have tea with each other, and they talk and chat with each other, and smile with each other. Then no matter how strong a person is, he's going to fall weak. He's going to fall weak, especially if this becomes his daily environment. He's going to be faced with this on a daily basis. Either he's going to have to be a true stranger, and be somebody who distances himself from them all the time and considered weird and the likes like this, because he does not come around and associate with them, and he does not drink tea with them and sit and chat with them, so on and so forth. Or he's going to have to get involved with them. So he's going to be exposing his religion to great dangers, to great trials. And it's unnecessary. Many brothers in these days, alhamdulillah, they're finding means of earning a living away from these trials and tribulations. Some of them from their homes, from their own offices, or they're beginning their own businesses, so on and so forth. Many different options and opportunities. If a person, he takes his time, he's sincere with Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's diligent, he asks around, so on and so forth, he'll be able to find an occupation that will facilitate the establishment of his religion. He'll be safe, inshaAllah. No doubt in these days, the world is mixed, especially with globalism and the likes like this, and it's hard to avoid fitna in entirety. But a believer, if he cannot avoid the fitna in entirety, he will strive to minimize it as much as possible. He will not dive in head first. He will not dive in head first and choose the occupation that has the greatest fitna and the greatest trials. Rather, he will choose one that is safest and easiest and best for him. That would be any minimal trials and tribulations and the likes like this. And in my personal advice for the noble brothers, barakallahu fikum, if you can ever find an occupation working under a Muslim, this is best. This is best. To avoid ever working under a non-Muslim, this is something that one should desire and look for. That the one that he is subordinate to and the one he takes orders from is a Muslim. Is a believer, preferably from Ahlul Sunnah. Any that he works for Muslims, he takes orders from Muslims, he cooperates with Muslims. As for being belittled and humbled and taking orders from non-Muslims, then this is something a believer should try to avoid. And hope to not be tried by. And if one is tried by that for some time, he will search for a way out from that. And likewise, on top of that as well, working under a woman in charge of a man, this is not proper. It's not proper for a woman to be giving a Muslim man orders and that he answers to her. And the likes like this. This is not from our religion. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. And so this is something to keep in mind. فَلْيُنْظَرْ لِلْأَمَلِ وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ. So one should consider the nature of the work and its consequences. فَالَّذِي لَا يُلْهِي عَنِ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَيَحْسُرُ بِهَا رِزْقُ الْحَلَالِ أَفْضَلْ مَا يَكُنْ. So if it does not distract from worship and establishing the religion, and it provides lawful sustenance and means, then this is the best type of earning. He's giving us a general principle. He's giving us a general principle. So some, a mechanic, a technician, a tailor, a baker, any profession, right, that falls under this category here, that it's lawful earnings and it does not distract or turn a person away from his religion, then this is the best one. And this is the best one. So this is a general principle that he mentions. Now he's going to mention the principle likewise in contrast to that. وَمَا يُقَرِّبُ مِنَ الْحَرَامُ وَيُلْهِي أَنَ الطَّاعَاتِ فُهُوَ أَنْزَلُ مَا يَكُونَ فُهُوَ أَنْزَلُ مَا يَكُونَ. However, what brings one closer to the unlawful and distracts from acts of obedience is the lowest form of earning possible. It's from the lowest forms of earning possible. The worst types of earning a living is a type of occupation that draws you close to the haram. It draws you close to the haram. It doesn't say it's haram. You shift the hand. يُقَرِّبُكَ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Maybe it's halal, like I know, يُقَرِّبُكَ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Right? Because مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. We know the hadith, right? The person who comes close to something, pretty soon he's going to fall into it. And if, so the occupation that brings one close to that which is forbidden, and he bringing him near the haram, and it distracts him from actions of obedience. فَهُوَ أَنْزَلُ مَا يَكُونَ. This is the lowest. This is the lowest. This is the lowest form of earnings possible. وَمِثْلُهُ مَا يُقَرِّبُهُ مِنْ إِخْلَافِ الْوَعْدِ وَأَخْذِ الدَّيْنِ فِي الذِّمَّةِ وَنَحْوِهَا. And similarly as well, anything that leads to breaking promises or taking on debt in one's liability is also undesirable. And if some occupation is going to, he's going to wind up having to take debts left and right. And then he's going to be making promises and violating them. Making promises and going back. Oh, yeah, I promise on this day I'll get you this, on that day I'll get you that. No, it's, you got my word. And then he goes back on his word. And then he breaks his promise. And he's somebody who's doing business in this manner like this. Wallahi, wallahi, on this day, on that day. And then, wallahi, and then in the end he doesn't do anything. And then he doesn't do it. He doesn't fulfill his promises. It leads him to this. It leads him to bargain in this manner. All of this is also not praiseworthy. All of this is also not praiseworthy. Or if a person has to take a lot of debt or unnecessary debt, sometimes in business, businessmen, it's known they go in debt and they take debts. That's how they do business. They do business, they'll take on debts, and then they'll move their money in this manner. So some of that is not blameworthy, and taking on a debt is lawful. But if it's something unnecessary or causing a person to go into great troubles or take risks and hazards and taking debts and the likes like this, then this is this is blameworthy. There's a narration I'm trying to remember right now. إياكم لا تخيفوا أنفسكم بعد أمنها. لا تخيفوا أنفسكم بعد أمنها. I think it's like this. The narration is similar. لا تخيفوا أنفسكم بعد أمنها. Do not bring fear to yourselves after being in security and safety. لا تخيفوا أنفسكم بعد أمنها. Do not put yourselves in states of fear after you're in a safe, after you're in a state of safety and security. And the narration is about taking debts. The narration is about taking debts. The person, he's safe and sound, but then whenever he takes a debt, now the pressure comes. Now he's in pressure, and now there's issues and responsibility, and what is he going to pay back on time, and so on and so forth. Now it becomes a problem. Now he puts himself under pressure and issues that if it could be avoided, it's better. If possible to avoid, it would be better. Again, although taking loans properly and lawfully is allowed. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a loan. He took a loan. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's permissible. So the Shaykh, he says, وَمَا الْإِسْتِوَى. Now he says, and whenever all factors are equal. And if all the factors are equal, and he could do this one or could do that one, all of them, they're not going to deter him or preoccupy him from his deen. And all of the choices in front of him are halal and lawful. So whenever they're all equal, he says, وَمَا الْإِسْتِوَاءِ فَالزِّرَاعَةُ أَفْضَلُ. فَالزِّرَاعَةُ أَفْضَلُ. This is the position of the Shaykh, rahimahullah. As for whenever they're all factors are equal, then agriculture is the best. Then agriculture is the best. Zira'ah. Any farming and agriculture is the best and most virtuous. He clarifies, rahimahullah, لِمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الْأَجْرِ وَالنَّفْعِ أَلَذِي بِاخْتِيَارِ صَاحِبِهِ وَبِغَيْرِ اِخْتِيَارِهِ أَلَذِي بِاخْتِيَارِ صَاحِبِهِ وَبِغَيْرِ اِخْتِيَارِهِ. He says, when all other factors are equal, agriculture is the best because it provides both reward and benefit chosen by its owner and unintended benefits. The one who is involved in agriculture, he will benefit and bring about benefit intentionally and unintentionally. And whether he likes it or not, he's going to bring benefit. Any of the work that he works for and the benefit that he brings, he will have the reward of that. And then even there's other benefits that come along with that occupation that he's not even intending or not even making any effort to obtain. So this is what he's saying here. وَمِنْ انْتِفَاعِ الْأَدَمِيِّينَ وَالْبَهَائِمُ وَالطُّيُورُ وَنَحْوِهَا An unintended benefit such as being useful for people and benefiting people and animals and birds. Benefiting people, animals, and birds. And then he says, Rahimahullah, and the likes. Animals and birds and the likes of this. وَكُلُّ مَا أَكَلَ مِنْهُ صَاحِبُهُ مَأْجُورٌ عَلَيْهِ وَكُلُّ مَا أَكَلَ مِنْهُ صَاحِبُهُ مَأْجُورٌ عَلَيْهِ And for every piece of food consumed from the agriculture that he's producing, the owner is rewarded. The owner is rewarded. So if he works in agriculture, this is his position. If a person who works in agriculture, then he's bringing benefit for himself and for the people. And the people, they benefit greatly from the crops and from the animals and from the milk and the likes like this. This is a great benefit for mankind and for the animals. It's a great benefit for mankind and for the animals. And those who benefit directly from him, he has a good reward for that. It's whenever his intention is good. Even the animals that eat from the crops that he's not even intending. For example, the bird flies down and takes some of the crops. The wolf comes along and takes some of the crops. Another animal comes along. The cat comes along and eats from the crops. And the likes like this. All of these animals are taking provision from his efforts in agriculture. The Shaykh is saying that the many is going to have a recompense and reward for everything that's consumed from his efforts, whether he knows it or doesn't know it. And again, this is for an individual who has a good intention in his efforts. Who has a good intention in his efforts. Somebody who has knowledge of the realities of the intention. The one who has the knowledge of the realities of the intention, then he's able to turn the average daily affairs, which are considered adat, to ibadat, by having a righteous and good intention, intending to benefit the people and benefit the creation and to do good to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping for the reward from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So we have a summary of the benefits here. This is the end of the statement of Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala in his work. It's on page 483. This is in the commentary on these narrations here that we're discussing. So the summary of the benefits and rulings, the afdal makasib is clear. Al-afdal mutlaqan maksab bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-ghanaimi bil jihadi fi sabilillah. لَأَنَّهُ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ خَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ The best forms of earning, the best overall, are the earnings of the Prophet ﷺ through the spoils of war and jihad, as it combines the worldly and spiritual benefits. Combines the good of this life and the hereafter. As it combines the good of this life and the hereafter. The good of this life and the hereafter. This is whenever the jihad is legislated and established properly. Not what many people today, they claim as jihad. Many people today, they're claiming jihad, and this is not jihad. This is not jihad fi sabilillah. The jihad in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla is legislated and pleasing to Allah. It has conditions. Just like salat has conditions, and zakat has conditions, and sawm has conditions. Just like the hajj has conditions. Just like the shahada has conditions. Likewise, jihad has conditions. It's not fawda. It's not chaos. Everybody does what they like. Whether there's conditions. In order for salat to truly be considered salat legislatively, a person, he must bring the conditions. Is that right? If a person, he prayed without one of the proper conditions established correctly, would it be considered salat? Would it be considered a salat? Somebody who prayed without wudu, does he have salat? What if he's crying the whole time? He's crying the whole time, reciting the best recitation. Crying his eyes out in sujood for a long time, making ruku' for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But it doesn't have wudu. After he's finished, oh man, I forgot to make wudu. After I finish, oh man, astaghfirullah, I forgot to make wudu, Is it called salah? That's not called salah. In a salah, salah without wudu is not salah, right? No matter what he did in it. So the same understanding, jihad fi sabilillah. If it's not established according to the legislative conditions and principles, it's not considered jihad in the path of Allah. And from the greatest principles is that's under the banner of a Muslim ruler, a recognized Muslim ruler. Not somebody who says, for example, right now, he's our Muslim ruler. Khalas, give him the banner. We're behind him. Right? And then if we don't like him no more, we get rid of him and say, no, you're our Muslim ruler now. You're the Muslim ruler now in the country. And then we fight jihad with you. Like, this is what they're doing, like this. And no, he's the Muslim ruler now. And then they're done with him, they replace him. And he's the Muslim ruler now. They're doing similar things like this in these days. Waliyadu billah, and trying to get the people to run behind them, to be slaughtered and misguided in the path of Allah. Either to be slaughtered, waliyadu billah, or to be misguided and deviated away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, to slaughter and to wipe out the youth, particularly of the people of the Sunnah, to belittle the Muslims. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. So this is the best earning, whenever it's established properly. And a person who will earn his earnings from the Muslim ruler, the Muslim government, because he's fighting under their banner. Under their banner, like those who fought along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, الأفضل بعدهم ما كان أصلح لدين العبد ودنيا لا تلهي عن العبادة والطاعة ويكون مصدرا للرزق الحلال. The best for others after that, the earning that does not distract from worship and obedience and provides lawful and wholesome substance. Lawful and wholesome sustenance. And wholesome sustenance. This is the one that is most virtuous after that. The one that is most virtuous after then. And then we have likewise اختلاف العلماء في ترتيب المكاسب الدنيوية. The scholarly opinions on the worldly earnings, any that they differed with regards to. The first one, الزراعة. تعتبروا يعني عند الإمام السعدي رحمه الله أفضل عند التساوي لأنها تجمع بين الأجر والنفع للإنسان والبهائم والطيور. Agriculture, يعني in the opinion of the Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah, is considered the best when all else is equal because it benefits both the owner and unintended beneficiaries like animals and birds. And then after that, التجارة فيها منفعة كبيرة مع حسن النية وضبط الأحكام الشرعية. The trade, business and commerce is highly beneficial when conducted with sincerity and adherence to Islamic rulings and principles. And adherence to Islamic rulings and principles. Some of the people of knowledge, they have preferred tijara over even zira'ah. They mentioned that tijara. Some of scholars, they have another position, that buying and selling is from the best means of earning a living, of earning a living. In general, again, it goes back to the issue that he mentioned, the one that is halal and lawful, and the one that is not going to deter a person. Now is going to deter a person from establishing his religion. And also as-sina'ah. As-sina'ah is manufacturing, craftsmanship, manufacturing and craftsmanship. نَافِيَةٌ إِذَا كَانَتْ تَخْدِيمُ الْمُجْتَمَعِ وَلَا تَتَضَمَّنُ مُحَرَّمَاتِ وَلَا تَتَضَمَّنُ مُحَرَّمَاتِ. This is praiseworthy and beneficial as long as it serves the societal needs and avoids prohibited activities. And if it's something that's beneficial, if it's something that's beneficial, and crafting things and manufacturing things, if they're lawful and beneficial. And there's factories in these days that craft and manufacture any things that are forbidden, things that are haram, or things that are lowly and despicable. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Any factories and the likes like this, where they manufacture things that are lewd and lowly. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Or things that are forbidden and permissible. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this one is not praiseworthy and beneficial, whether to manufacture and to craft things that are lawful and beneficial for the people and their dunya and their deen. This is praiseworthy and good. And also we see from what the author is mentioning here as well, التحذير من المكاسب المشبوهة أو المحرمة. Warning against the doubtful or prohibited earnings, the dubious, any doubtful and prohibited earnings, the ones that if a person is involved in them, people are going to think bad about him. He's going to be suspicious and the likes like this, and thinking, making accusations against him. Even maybe himself he's curious, is his earnings lawful or not? Is his earnings lawful or not? And the likes like this, or the people that hear of him, they say, is his earnings lawful or not? They're afraid to even do business with him because maybe they're speculating about the validity of his earnings and the likes like this. Are they lawful or are they haram? So a person who will avoid those, and likewise that which is clearly forbidden. Likewise, that which is clearly forbidden. مكاسب التي تقرب من الحرام أو تلهي عن الطاعات تعتبر من أسوأ المكاسب. The earnings that involve unlawful means or distract from worship and obedience are considered among the worst forms of earning a living. الأعمال التي تؤدي إلى إخلاف الوعد أو تراكم الديون في الذمة مكروهة. Professions or practices that lead to breaking promises or incurring debts irresponsibly are discouraged and looked down upon. Also from these benefits here, أجروا الزراعة. From the summarized benefits of what the Shaykh he mentioned, Rahimahullah, أجروا الزراعة. تفضلوا الزراعة لأنها تحقق الأجر على كل نفع ناتج عنها سواء كان مقصودا أو غير مقصود. So the reward of agriculture. The reward of agriculture. Agriculture is preferred because it offers continuous rewards for every benefit derived from it. ينتفعوا بها الآدميون والطيور والبهائم دون اختيار الإنسان. Its benefits extend to humans, birds, and animals, whether intentional or unintentional. الخلاصة الأفضل في المكاسب هو ما يصلح للدين والدنيا معا. In summary, the best form of earning combines benefits for religious and worldly needs. معايير التفاضل بين المكاسب الحلال والبعد عن الحرام والنفع العام. The criteria for evaluating earnings is lawfulness. Distance is a distance from the unlawful and general benefit to society. الزراعة تعد الأفضل عند التساوي لأنها تجمع بين الأجر والنفع. Agriculture considered the best when all other factors are equal because it combines reward and social benefit. The first narration was the narration of Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari. He's known as Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari al-Khazraji al-Badri. Min fuqaha al-Sahaba. He's from the great scholars of the Sahaba. Shahida al-Aqaba al-Thaniya, wa huwa saghir. He attended the second pledge of allegiance in Mecca with the Ansar, while he's young. Wa kana asghara al-Sab'ina hina idhin. And he was the youngest of the 70 at that time. He was youngest of the 70 who pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the people of Medina in that pledge. Lam yashhad badran wa innama sakana ma badr fa nusiba ilayhi. He didn't attend the Battle of Badr, but he resided in a place where the water is near Badr. So he was ascribed to it from this aspect. He's called Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. But he didn't attend Badr. And he's not from Badr, but he resided there for some time. He's actually from Al-Madinah. Fanusi, from the Khazraj. فَنُسِبَ إِلَيْهِ فَلِذَلِكَ قِيلَ لَهُ al-Badri. So for this reason, he's called al-Badri. And he was known as al-Badri because he used to live in Badr. He resided there for some time where the water is. وَشَهِدَ أُحَدًا وَمَا بَعْدُهُ مِنَ الْمَشَاهِدِ. And he attended the Battle of Uhud and the rest of the battles along with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَسَكَنَ الْكُوفَةِ وَتُوفِيَ بِهَا فِي خِلَافَةِ عَلِيٍّ رضي الله عنه سنة 39. And later he moved and lived in Al-Kufa. And he died there in the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه in the year 39, after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second narration was the narration of Rafi' ibn Khadij. Rafi' ibn Khadij radiallahu anhu, his Abu Abdullah. Rafi' ibn Khadij al-Ansari al-Awsi. Al-Ansari al-Awsi. Kana ma'dudan min al-Rumat. Kana ma'dudan min al-Rumat. Rafi' ibn Khadij radiallahu anhu, he was from the archers. He's from the Ansar, from the tribe of al-Aws. And he was from the archers. Istusqira yawma badrin wa shahida uhudan wa khandaqa wa ma ba'daha. And he was considered too young at the Battle of Badr, but he attended the Battle of Uhud and the Battle of the Trench and the rest of the battles likewise after that. Radiallahu anhu. Asabahu sahmun fi tanduwatihi yawma uhudan. Yani he was struck with the arrow in his chest, in his nipple, in his chest, in his breast. He was struck with the arrow on the day of Uhud. فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله انزع السهم. And so he came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, take out the arrow. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رافع إن شئت نزعت السهم والقطبة جميعا وإن شئت نزعت السهم وتركت القطبة وشهدت لك يوم القيامة أنك شهيد. الله أكبر. He said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, take the arrow out, O Messenger of Allah. Take the arrow out of my chest, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Rafi, if you like, I'll take the arrow out along with the tip, along with the head. The arrow is the shaft, and the qutba, yani the hadida, the head. He said, if you like, I'll take the shaft out and the head. And if you like, I'll take the shaft out and leave the head in, and I'll bear witness for you on the day of resurrection that you are a martyr. And I will bear witness for you on the day of resurrection that you are shaheed. قال يا رسول الله بل انزع السهم واترك القطبة. He said, oh, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather take out the arrow and leave in the tip of the arrow. And so he chose this, to have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witness for him on the day of resurrection, leaving the tip of the arrow in his breast, taking the shaft out. But the amazing affair is what comes next. فانتقضت جراحته بعد ذلك فعاش حتى شهد الصفين مع علي رضي الله عنه. But his wound was healed and got better until he lived some time, until he witnessed the battle of Siffin along with Ali radiallahu anhu. For this is in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet, he died in the year 11, approximately 30 years later, or around 30 years later, maybe 25 years later, like this, he's witnessing the battle with Ali. And he chose what he chose for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. And then on top of that, he didn't die. He didn't die at that time. Rather, Allah decreed that he would live longer after that. So this is from the amazing affairs. He was ready to die in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah healed him, and he lived for years after that. وَمَاتَ سَنَةَ ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ. He died in the year 73. قَالَ الذَّهَبِي. الذَّهَبِي, he mentioned about him, رضي الله عنه, كَانَ سَحْرَوِيًّا عَادِمًا بِالْمُزَارَعَةِ وَالْمُسَاقَاتِ. That he was someone who lived in the desert, and he had great knowledge of agriculture and irrigation. This is Rafi' Ibn Khadij radiallahu anhu. There's a similar story likewise with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. He was struck as well, and he thought he was going to die in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he's asking about how to do, if he can give a wasiyah for his inheritance. His inheritance is going to go. He wants to give a lot of his wealth in charity. The Prophet sallallahu, he said, can I give all my wealth? He said, no. He said, can I give half of it? He said, no. He said, a third of it? He said, athuruth wa thuruth kathir. The hadith is well known. Athuruth wa thuruth kathir. As a wasiyah, you can give a third of it. And that's a lot. But he thought he was going to die. He was expecting to die. He's bleeding to death, radiallahu anhu. But he was cured, and he lived a long time after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At one moment in his life, he's really facing death, expecting to die. Just like Rafi ibn Khadij here, radiallahu anhu, he's got an arrow stuck in his chest. The head of it is left inside. The messenger is going to bear witness for him on the day of resurrection. And then on top of that, Allah cured him, and he lived for over 20 years, radiallahu anhu. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.